Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. All Sleep Number smart beds offer temperature solutions for your best sleep. And now, get early access to Memorial Day deals. Save 30% on our most popular smart bed, i8. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
When it comes to Mother's Day, at Ritual, we believe in giving her flowers. But are flowers what she actually wants? We asked around, and flowers are fine, but most women would prefer science-backed gut support that never wilts. While we're at it, throw in Stress Relief, our chill pill designed with clinically studied forms of ingredients to reduce daily stress. Did we mention that all of our supplements are clean, vegan, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes? Because if you ask us, the thought counts, but traceable science and sourcing count more. Find your Ritual. Get what you really want this year, whether you're a mom or not, with 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Very excited today to be joined by David Potts. So it's Potsy from Revenge, from Monaco, from Peter Hook and the Light, the current Peter Hook band. And also, there's an interesting story there because he famously auditioned for Oasis. So I really want to hear his take on it because I've never actually heard that before. So I'm looking forward to getting that from him. So anyway, we'll be talking to him very shortly. That's the key thing that we're doing today. Other than that, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news world that I'm going to be picking up after the interview. So lots to cover off. I know I haven't podcasted for about 2 or 3 weeks, so it's been a little while, a lot going on. All very exciting stuff. Anyway, so we'll come back to the new stuff in a minute, but coming up next, it is me with David Potts. Cool. All right. So welcome to the Oasis Podcast. David Potts, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you. Very good. Just been swimming.
Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Nice swim, which is nice when it's just gorgeous, you know.
It is.
It's beautiful out here. So, we just thought we'd go for a little swim.
Lovely. Whereabouts are you?
In Didsbury.
Lovely. Lovely part of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nice.
We were just saying, I was literally just in Manchester. I should have swung round and done it in the swimming pool with you, but I was... yeah.
Or in the back garden.
Yeah, or maybe the back garden. But yeah, I was just literally in Manchester.
In the centre of town.
Yeah, my daughter's at uni in Manchester. So yeah, I was in town last night and then, just swung back down south today. So yeah, all good. But it is nice getting to go up there. And you mentioned when we were sort of setting this up, you're busy in rehearsals at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, we've been rehearsing. Well, we came back from France. We did 3 in Spain and 9 in France, which went well. We were rehearsing for Get Ready before that. And then we went to France doing different stuff. And then we've had to come back and remind ourselves of where we were up to. But like this week it's kind of turned a corner, it started to sound really good, so we've expanded to a five-piece, so, and it's sounding pretty rocky and pretty heavy. So then we're going to Manchester Academy to practice a couple of days pre-production, and then we're out doing three gigs for it. Three for now, and then more towards the end of the year, and with America as well in about a month time. A few gigs there. So
excellent. And is it?
It's doing the Get Ready album.
Yeah. So do you doing the full album in its entirety, basically?
Yes, we do the full album, maybe a couple of B sides, and then a kind of a best of after a break.
Yeah. No, it's fair enough.
We do a good long show.
Yeah, you put in the hours. Yeah. No, absolutely.
We certainly do.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. When it comes to Mother's Day, at Ritual, we believe in giving her flowers. But are flowers what she actually wants? We asked around, and flowers are fine, but most women would prefer science-backed gut support that never wilts. While we're at it, throw in stress relief. Our chill pill, designed with clinically studied forms of ingredients to reduce daily stress. Did we mention that all of our supplements are clean, vegan, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes? Because if you ask us, the thought counts, but traceable science and sourcing count more. Find your ritual. Get what you really want this year, whether you're a mom or not, with 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah, no, I do like it. I have seen. So we're talking about, if people don't realize, we're talking about Peter Hook and the Light, right? And yeah. So what you've got there is such a great back catalogue of stuff, all the way from, you know, from Joy Division, New Order. And then, you know, and but then obviously with yourself as well. I mean, for me as a 90s kid, really, the reason I knew of you was through Monaco. Like Monaco were a big band for me. And What You Want From Me was like one of my favorite songs, you know, when growing up. Like that was just on permanent rotation. So, yeah. And Monaco back with a Record Store Day release now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that because we did, we played Skegness. We did a Butlin Skegness, and out of all the back catalogue that you said you can pick from, probably What Do You Want From Me was the biggest one, biggest sing-along track there. Out of all those songs you could pick from, that was the one the crowd went bonkers for.
Yeah.
So it's always good to put that in, even though it's not, you know, New Order or whatever. Yeah.
And that's, it must be nice for you as well, because that's your tune, right?
It is, because you're treated differently when you've written it. When you're playing someone else's songs, you want to do it the best you can, but it's different when it's your own stuff. It's more personal, so
yeah,
it kind of works better. But but obviously the majority is... if not stuff.
Understand it is understandable to be fair.
People have been crying out for us to do a reunion gig, and we had one booked in for I think it was just before COVID, and we were going to do it in Belgium, I think. And then COVID hit, and then the gig just passed by. And we probably would have done more off the back of that, but never mind. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll come around again.
Yes.
No. You know, yes, but record store day, yes, it's tomorrow.
Mm.
So April 12th. And it's the 12-inch. It's a 12-inch, four-track 12-inch of an unreleased song. So I've Got a Feeling, it was called. And it never came out properly. It got pulled. Something to do with samples or whatever. And things were just not going right at that point in time. So it got pulled and it never got its proper release, really, even though it had the greatest video ever made. Have you seen the video?
I haven't seen the video. I know the track, but I haven't seen the video.
The one with the dogs.
No, I haven't seen it.
Very good.
Well, I'll be checking it out.
It's one of the best videos and the cheapest ever made. It's great. It's funny. Should we talk about the time when I last heard from you? You left me waiting all alone, so blue. Take me to our promised land while I find someone new. But I can't even stand myself without you. But there is nothing I can do. I'm a fool for hurting you. And the only thing I care about never will come true. 'Cause I've got a but yeah, so that's coming out with two B-sides and an instrumental version of the single on a beautiful green vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's come after we re-released Music for Pleasure.
Yeah.
A few months back, and it just flew out. So we just thought, oh, well, let's do the unreleased track, and then the second album's coming next.
I was going to say, that's coming next, is it?
Yeah, that's coming in May. So that'll be about May, I don't know, 23rd or something, I think that is. So, and that'll be in, like, I think it's double, but yeah, double kind of green vinyl thing and limited edition, whatever. You know, clear vinyl, all sorts. All the gimmicks.
All that stuff. Lovely.
Yeah.
And is there many like recordings from the Monaco days kicking around, or is it basically what you did is out there?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there are a few half kind of cooked demos, but there's not a lot.
Okay.
Most got used for B-sides. Some things just aren't good enough to put out, really.
Right.
Don't pass the quality control. Well, I think that, yeah, most of it's out. They're just jamming bits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much everything's out there.
Fair enough. Yeah. But with Monaco,
with the Music for Pleasure one, we did put extra tracks on that. With the second album, there are extra tracks on that. Different mixes. I can't remember what I've put on it there, but different mixes, remixes, things like that. So
nice. But with the when you say about jamming, I mean, wasn't the especially the first one just you two, just the two of you? So
yeah.
You see what I mean? It's not like there's a bunch of you in this all together in a rehearsal room. Would it have just been the two of you together? How was the recording process?
Pretty much. We just put a drum track. She would do a slow one, she would do a fast one. I mean, it is a bit limiting that way, but then you don't have to pay a drummer. So you just kind of program a loose beat and then jam along to it, basically.
Nice.
And then you just listen back and sift through and pick the bits and then try and get vocals and things for it.
Right.
Some were done like that. Some were done from just, I've got an idea, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or listen to this.
Yeah.
The way most people do it, I would have thought.
Yeah. I suppose what you've got weird with Peter's sound is that you know where would traditionally be a bass player, that's not where he is. He's up here, and so you know, you often kind of needed a bass player to back up your bass player who's actually playing lead guitar bass.
Yeah. I mean, you can sometimes the higher stuff comes from overdubs. It's a bit of a mixture, really, because, some tracks you can be playing in kind of in the middle section where you get your chord structures kind of worked out, and then sometimes you can go high and something will happen then. But, yeah, it's certainly a distinctive sound, yeah.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Well, very much. I mean, that was what was so nice about it. You know, when I got into Monaco as a kid, like, you know, New Order was like my sister's band, my brother's band. And so I was aware of them through them. And I know Hookie kind of stepped away from that sort of sound with Revenge. I know you then, and then you then came into Revenge, right? Did we, it was Tapop, and then you joined the band through that route?
Yeah, I think their first album was pretty much done. So I started being a Tapop. They were about to go on tour, and Hookie can't sing and play at the same time. So we needed a backup bassist. So there was a time in the studio when Dave Hicks was playing the guitar, and he couldn't remember what he was playing. He just forgot the riff or whatever. And I picked up the guitar and showed him what he'd played. And then Hookie was like, Oh, so you play bass. And I went, yeah. So we just started playing and had a couple of rehearsals, and he was like, you know, do you want to come to Japan? And I think it was 19 at the time. And I said, yeah, I lost my mum and I'll get back to you. and that was it then. I was a tape-op for about 2 months.
Okay. That's not a bad break, is it?
I didn't learn an awful lot.
And you don't need to anyway these days, do you? Everything's digital now anyway, so that's fine.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, cool.
That's true. You can do it all at home, can't you?
Yeah.
With all the feelings in my head and all the timings I have tried, will anybody give me what I need? Put all my faith in God above. This time I'm falling just for you. I guess I'm hungry for that love.
But then, yeah, so I suppose with Revenge, he'd gone against that sort of sound. But that was a nice thing with Monaco. You can hear those kind of, that traditional hooky kind of New Order bass lines coming back.
I mean, I loved kind of that middle period of New Order, the Low Life, Brotherhood, that kind of thing, where it was very bass driven. And I was like, well, why don't you go back to doing that kind of thing, you know, rather than... I mean, even on Technique, it got so... not Technique, Republic, right. It got so bitty. And the riffs were so bitty and not kind of a basis of the song. There were overdubs and chopped up. And, you know, I wanted to get back to how... the structure of the song with the bass being prominent.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my idea to start... What do you want from me with the bass?
Yeah.
To say, you know, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. You can hear you go, Peter Hook. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That I would die for.
And you're saying about the sing-along, like, so when you're saying about Skegness, I think it was, that was Shine On, first of all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the, I mean, obviously, that just, that song, What Do You Want From Me, it just feels built. Obviously, you've got the sha-la-las, and you know, it just feels built to be a sing-along song. So I can see why, you know, that got everyone pumping.
Yeah. I mean, it was Paul Adam, really, who spotted it, who's the A&R man at Polydor. I mean, I didn't think it was up to scratch at the time. And I was like, not Happy Jack. I like Happy Jack. That's the track on the first album. And he was like, no, trust me. This is what I do. This is my job. You know, I'm an A&R man. I've done it before. I've got a few hits under my belt, and this is one of them. I was like, all right, okay.
And it worked.
And he was around.
Well, it's lovely. I think that your two voices work together. The fact you've got, like, you know, Hookie does the verses and then you come in with the chorus. It's just a lovely kind of the melding of the two of you. I think it works so well.
Yeah. I mean, he's very low. That's why he can carry off the Joy Division stuff well. A lot of the New Order stuff just isn't in his range. So he can't. You're given a range, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're naturally given a range. So if you can't get up there where Sting can, then you have to ask someone else to do it, don't you? So I do the high bits and he does the low bits. And sometimes it's like an octave thing, like Squeeze.
Yeah.
Squeeze used to do a lot with Chris Difford being low and Tilbrook high. So that kind of works. There's a lot of swapping on this, on the Get Ready stuff.
Yeah.
So where you've just got to say, you know, that's your bit, that kind of thing.
Cool. So. No, that's good to know. No, it's interesting. I look forward to that. On the obviously, this is the Oasis podcast, so we'll do a bit of Oasis-y stuff. Now, I mean, interestingly, like, Hookie was like quite instrumental in Oasis early on, because he was like the I don't know if you're aware of this, but he was the host on like Oasis' first ever radio appearance.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So it's basically like they're on like Hit the North. It's like Mark Radcliffe's show, but Radcliffe was off and Hookie stood in. And like young Noel is like taking a piss out of, I think he was wearing leather trousers that day or something. And he's like, Noel's taking a piss out of his leather trousers and stuff. And it's like, but yeah, and I think Oasis supported Revenge. They're like third ever gig or something.
They did. It wasn't third. It was quite late on. In Revenge's kind of lifetime, it was more towards the back end.
Sorry, I'm saying it was Oasis, like third ever gig.
Oh yes, probably Middleton Civic Hall, and I vaguely remember it. But Hookie's brother, Chris, has got a video of it somewhere in his attic, and I'm just, will you find that blooming video? You know, it's up there somewhere. I don't know. So there is footage of it.
Mate, that is gold dust. Yeah. He needs to get in that loft ASAP.
Yeah. I've got flyers. I've got a couple of flyers from it. Like orange flyers from that gig. But I vaguely remember. I didn't watch too much of them. Was Noel in them?
Yeah. Then? Yeah, Noel's in them by then. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember him being there. I remember quite a few Scallies around. But, yeah, it was the back end of Revenge. I mean, we were kind of tailing off.
Okay.
Really. So, So obviously they were just starting, weren't they?
So to you, was it just like another local support band, you know?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think there was a bit of a buzz about the name. Because I remember, I think maybe Steve Harrison had something to do with getting them supporting us. But I think there was a little bit of a buzz around them, but not an awful lot.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know at the time, like, you know, they had ties with Johnny Marr. They had ties with, like, Mike Joyce. There was, like, things were buzzing. And obviously Noel had been with the Inspirals as a roadie. So he had...
Yeah.
there were connections there. And I always thought it was interesting that so early in their career to be supporting Revenge, like Peter Hook's band, it's like, that's impressive, you know? So it must have been some sort of connections there.
Yeah. Very vague kind of recollection of the... I can remember us playing it, but I don't really remember that.
Mate, so anyone else would say, I saw him, I recognised it straight away. I said, that will be the next Manchester band.
Yeah, but probably at the time, they just sounded like every other Manchester band at that time, before they actually, you know, developed what they had. I don't recall anything being wow about them, because there was a lot of bands around. You know, he could have even lumped Northside in and got into all that pot of Manchester bands. So, you know, I mean, a lot of that was tailing off at that period, wasn't it? The kind of Manx stuff. So,
yeah.
So it could, in my mind, it could have just been lumped in with that. So.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And then when was your... So obviously they then keep rising up as then... I know you guys are then... Revenge winds up and then... So what... Yeah, did you have many
Peter
more?
Peter went back to New Order and did Republic. And so that would have been 93. And then 95, I started writing at Hookies in his cellar. And then we started getting stuff together round about. I think we did Hooky and the Boys as well, the Mrs. Merton. That could have been like 94, 95. So we started writing then. We didn't have What Do You Want From Me. We had things like Buzz Gum and Blue and maybe a couple of dancey tracks.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So it was just kind of starting to go, and then we realised we've got something here. And Hooky, I remember Hooky's just saying, I'm not doing this as a hobby. If we're going to do this, we need to do it properly. And we need to put the work in, and we need to, you know, do it as a full-time job. Well, let's do it then. So 95, 96, early 96 was the time when we put all that stuff down. And we kind of moved out of his cellar into a place called Trips Muse, which is just, you know, in West Didsbury. And then, that's when we got Steve Harrison on, who managed the Charlatans, and that's when it got a bit more serious.
Brilliant. And did you then see, like... Go on, sorry.
I remember writing it and bumping into Bonehead in a pub called the Barleycorn. And he was on top of the world, you know. He was like the cockiest man in there. And I believe he's a very nice guy. I don't know him. But at the time, you could just tell he was kind of riding on that. You know, if that was 95, 96, they're top of the game, weren't they?
Yeah.
Then...
Yeah.
So
did you have, was it interesting? Obviously, you know, Monaco then kind of, ended up getting lumped in with like the Britpop sort of scene, which is interesting because certain bands like In Spirals and Real People and things like that kind of were pre-Britpop and weren't really what was deemed Britpop and didn't really get that big bump. Whereas then other bands like Charlatans and Blur and people like that that were pre, they did. So I've always found that sort of very weird. But yeah, I mean, how was that for you, like getting signed and then sort of, you know, getting swept along with that kind of wave?
I didn't know any different, but obviously it was a big scene, wasn't it, that we were riding on. It wasn't, you just fitted in at that time, and you knew that because of the other side of it when you didn't fit in. It was only then that you realised, oh, all that was going on, and, you know, there's just loads of great bands around. To there being not a lot of great bands around and lots of boy bands and girl bands and it completely changing.
Yeah.
So I suppose we didn't really think about it that much. It was just that we just got on with it and just enjoyed it really and worked hard and toured and just did it. It was great because we enjoyed it.
And then... So Monaco's second album, you know, it's still a great album, I think, but then it doesn't do as well. But then around...
There are good tracks on it. There are some that I just can't listen to.
Really?
But then again, there are some that are great.
Yeah.
You know, it's just slightly flawed, but there are some great tracks on it.
Yeah.
But I think Polydor were in a bit of a hurry to get it. And then we finished it, and then they didn't want it. And then it got picked up straight away by Chrysalis after that. But there wasn't any money behind it. And then it was just that time when it was like the hangover period, wasn't it? 2000, it was like the Britpop, all that guitar stuff had gone. It was time for something else. And all the kiddie stuff kind of came in. And we just weren't in favour, like a load of other bands.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that time. It's just fashion, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You've just got to kind of wait it out or try something different.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so obviously then, you know, having seen Oasis at this very early stage of the career, you then have an interesting time, and I've been fascinated to talk to you about this. So you actually then auditioned for Oasis when Bonard and Griggs left. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, it was Jason who got us in, Jason Rhodes, and he'd worked for New Order. He roaded for New Order. He did a bit for Monaco as well. And we always got on great. He's a lovely guy. And he just suggested... You know, do you want to come down? I mean, I'm a guitarist. I'm not a bass player. And I just remember getting down there and Noel going, "Where's your bass?" And I said, "I haven't got one." And he went, "All right." There were many things like that of those 4 days, which kind of were all a bit, oh. so he asked me to do it, and we'd split up. Me and Hucky had canned it and finished doing Monaco then. So, I mean, you're not going to pass it up. But the back end of Monaco was nasty. It wasn't nice. We weren't getting on at all. It was like a horrible divorce, you know. And so I asked to do that, and I went down there. And as lovely as they are, it just did not feel right. It just didn't. I just didn't feel right there. And I like them, you know. I like them as people, and I like music. But if it just doesn't feel right and you're not happy, you don't do it. I mean, I've heard people say, "Are you mad? Are you crazy? All that money? I don't give a shit," you know. I'd rather do. I came out of that horrible thing wanting to do my own thing, and then to go back into that would have just been str- strange because I don't think they were getting on. I don't think Liam and Noel were getting on. When Noel was on his own, he was lovely. He changed so much when Liam came. The atmosphere changed so much. And it wasn't that, you know, Liam was doing anything in particular crazy or anything like that. It was just the atmosphere between them completely changed when he came in. He was a nice bloke, not saying that. A very, very strange atmosphere. I just didn't like it. But there are a lot of stories from that week, which, if anyone's listening, hopefully lots of people are listening, most of them are absolute bullshit.
Well,
mainly said by one person.
Mr. Hook.
We all know. Yes. Mr. Embellish. He does like to embellish his story. He's told some Oasis stories in front of me when I'm just sat there kind of going, that didn't happen. If you believe that, and he's just like, oh, he doesn't give a shit. You know, he likes a good story. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Absolutely.
Well, so most of these stories are just myths.
So would you mind just if I just run through a couple? So this is from Peter's book. So apparently, what was it that you turned down Noel's guitar? He leaves the room, comes back in and goes like, oi, who's turned down my guitar? And you've said, well, me, because it was too loud. True or false?
Slightly wrong. His amp was facing right in my left ear. So I asked him to angle it. And he was like, oh, he didn't mind. Just like nudged it over a little bit. And then when we took a break, I said to Jason, that's so fucking loud in my left ear. It's still, you know, kind of going on. So Jason went over and knocked it down a little bit. So when we came back in for the second bit, Noel went, you turned my fucking amp down. And I just went, no. That was it.
Fair enough. Okay, that's so we'll give him a partially true for that one.
Yeah, there's some truth in it, but it's embellished.
Okay, and then the other one is that you were rehearsing a song called Wonderwall, and yeah, with probably the most famous chord sequence ever that every single person who's ever picked up an acoustic guitar has played.
Doesn't it sound better now?
And that you told him to play different chords. Now, is that one true?
No, that's bullshit. That's not true. I was playing bass and there was a bit. It's the bit where I'd like to say to you, that bit. And what I thought I was playing it wrong. So I just stopped him and went, am I doing that right? Is that what I should be doing? And we just went through it. And he went, yeah, that's right. And I just went, oh, all right, okay, carry on. That was it. So I didn't change any chords.
So you're not telling the songwriter of Wonderwall.
I questioned what I was playing.
Okay, yeah, because I love that image of, you've almost got it right there, Mr. Gallagher, but maybe if you tweaked it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe use a major seventh instead. What's one of them?
But your little finger on that bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's none of that.
No, fair enough.
It was me, I thought I was playing something wrong.
Okay. Well, was there any other sort of stories from the time that you particularly remember worth sharing?
There was one. I mean, all these stories have come from other people who weren't there. It's only me and Noel and Gem who know what went on. But there was one where he said, do you want to hear the new album? And I went, yeah. So he put it on. And I think he was fucking in the bushes, that one, first one. And I was like, oh, I like that, you know, that's really good. I wanted to play it. there and there. And then he's playing the next one. But I'm not the type of person to blow smoke up someone's ass. When I want to listen to an album, I will sit there, close my eyes, take it in. And that's and not finish every song and go, ooh, that's good. Ooh, I like that bit. I'm never going to do that. So I kind of sat and listened to it. And then when he finished, Noel was noodling in the room, in the rehearsal room, and I went in. And he went, so what do you think? And I went, well, and he just cut me off and went, fuck off, you fell asleep, you cunt. And I just went, what? And that was it, you know, and I was just like, oh, doesn't matter, never mind. If that's what you think, that's what you think. But there were numerous things. I mean, great time in the pub.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy those 4 days, but it didn't feel right. It nothing to do with anyone in particular, you know. And I think the last album is probably my favourite album.
Yeah.
Of theirs. The last one they did, when we Back It Up on and all that.
Yeah.
Love that album.
Yeah.
I thought they were getting interest in them. It's a shame. I mean, sometimes your most interesting albums aren't your most popular, are they?
Yeah.
They might become your most popular.
Mm. Yeah.
In time. But
yeah.
I don't think I could listen to Morning Glory again. I've heard it that much.
Well, you're going to hear it a lot more this year, mate.
I won't be. I don't think I'll be getting free tickets, do you?
No, don't think so. Oh, dear.
No. I don't think so. No, I mean, no, I can see why they're doing it. Why not? Why not? That's off to them.
So how was it kind of left then? Was it like a don't call us, we'll call you? Or what?
In the end, I think it was plainly obvious to Noel that my heart wasn't in it. And he said, I'll see you tomorrow. And I went, I thought I was going tomorrow. I kind of made plans to go tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, oh, right. And, you know, that's like,
I kind of knew, yeah.
Right, that's the end of that then. And then I got up in the morning to go to get on the train to London and realised I'd left my wallet in the rehearsal room. Oh, that was so embarrassing.
So you
get me worried. So I think they put out. I ended up going to Ignition, I think, and they give me some money, and I got home, and then they posted me wallet out. But yeah, I mean, it was just left like that, and then I was free to do what I wanted to do, and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
you know. So I think the right people ended up doing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. It's funny because you're the only ones, the audition story that was ever out, right? But we heard over the years that other people had auditioned. And funnily enough, I was talking to the guy Julian Taylor. So he was in Star Club with Alan White, and then he was in Rialto.
Keyboard player?
No, he's a bass player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was interviewing him just really, because he was in Star Club with Alan White, and then he sort of were chatting away, and he goes, "Well, I wasn't going to say this actually, but I will say I did audition for Oasis," and I was like, "Did you?" And so he auditioned around the same time you did.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he had a similar thing, like 3 or 4 days, but then didn't happen.
What's he called? The Ryan. Bloke from Ride.
Andy Bell.
Yeah. He came in straight after me.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. He was straight after. But I wasn't aware of anyone beforehand.
Yeah. So there you go. And this is in Wheeler End at High Wycombe?
It was in Hookingdon Farm.
Okay.
Is it called Hookingdon Farm?
If it's the one that's near High Wycombe, that's the one.
It's in the middle of nowhere. I can't remember.
Okay. I'll look it up. But interesting. All right. So when you then sort of reading the NME next week, like, oh, Andy Bell got it.
I think Hawkey had opened his gob about something, as if I was doing it, and it wasn't decided whether I was doing it or not, you know. And I think it was pretty obvious to both of us, me and Noel, that it wasn't, even though, you know, we didn't fall out. I think that was pretty obvious. But then I think it had been said in the press that I was doing it and I was the new face on it. And it was just like, oh, I'm doing that for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's yesterday's news, wasn't it, after that? So,
Yeah.
So it didn't really mean.
And it's funny, isn't it, that like they would go in for you, not a bass player, and then they end up getting Andy Bell, not a bass player. So bizarre that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a natural thing. I played bass in Revenge.
Yeah.
But it's not a natural, a natural, instrument for me.
But, there is one other person, actually, I forgot about this, who threw his hat into ring. Guy, do you know Nev Cotty?
Yes.
Yeah, he because he was in the Yayas and then he was in Proud Mary and worked with Noel.
Yeah.
He read about it and actually jumped in the car and drove down to the studio and was like threw his hat in the ring, apparently.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, but
I didn't know of anyone. I mean, obviously Gem was in there already, wasn't he? I didn't hear of anyone else going down or being there previously. I think Noel had met Caroline as well before that because he did the theme tune for her.
Oh, Caroline Ahern, sorry, yeah.
So I think he'd mentioned me to her.
Okay.
I think she was quite drunk at the time. I couldn't remember who I was.
Oh, here's a quick question, actually, for someone that knows Caroline and Bonehead and stuff. Do you know if Craig Cash and Bonehead are actually related?
No idea.
No,
I don't think so. Not that I've heard.
No, it's just one of those things. I don't know if it's one of those things that one random person said once, and the fact they look a bit like each other. Because if you Google it, some people say, oh, they're cousins. But then I've never actually read anything to confirm one way or the other. I thought you might know.
No idea. No. Don't know.
Probably not.
No.
Fair enough.
I mean, I know Craig Cash from when they were writing the Mrs. Merton stuff. Don't really know Bonehead.
No.
I don't know. It's weird because they're only up the road, weren't they, in Burnage? I don't know any of them. I've got friends who went to school with them.
Right.
Who know, but I didn't.
No, fair enough.
I grew up in Salford anyway, so.
The other side.
Other side. Yes.
No, fair enough. Cool.
Yeah.
So I suppose from that audition and that process, then you did your own solo stuff, and then you've jumped between doing your own solo stuff and the stuff with Hooky as well. So that's been, I suppose it's nice you've got to scratch that itch as well.
Yeah, I mean, probably for about the first 8 years, I did solo stuff. I think I went to South America for about 6 months, and then I lived in Paris for about a year and a half, which is when I went to see Oasis at Bataclan. That was a good gig. I went to see him there, and then I came back, and Hooky started the line. But I was in South America at the time, so they got this lad, Nat, in, who was in Haven. So he did the first couple of years, and then he kind of went off somewhere else. So they asked me again to do it. And it's when they first started the New Order stuff, which is kind of natural for me to play. So we did that. And then in between that, over COVID, I managed to finish, put two albums out.
Yeah.
Two solo albums last year. Or was it this year? Last year.
Yeah, 24, yeah. This is like the two colored.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes, I put the red and the blue album out. So, yeah, and they did well. So it was good to get them out, you know. Because doing it in between, and I've got a daughter, you know how it takes up. She's up there on her own now, so I'll have to check on her in a minute. Yeah, you know, it takes a lot of time out of your day, doesn't it? So,
yeah, no, of course.
But it was good to get them out.
Yeah, yeah, it must be nice to get stuff out, like, and then to know that you've got this other, you know, really successful touring group that you can go to. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and travel around, and they're a nice bunch, you know, really. We're very close little family.
Yeah.
So, and we've done a lot of touring together. You get on each other's nerves now and again, but it doesn't change that much, you know. We do get on well.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And I suppose you've got, because, like, you know, doing Get Ready, like, you can do, okay, no, now we're going to do this album in full. You can just do a Joy Division. You can sort of mix and match, can't you? That must be quite, because it keeps it fresh.
For a lot of us, we'd love to go back and do Movement and Power, Corruption and Lies. And they got one tour. You know, we'd love to go back and do Movement. It's fantastic to play. And just to do the obscure ones, but it's whatever you can get geeks doing. Everyone wants the best of, don't they? So, you know, and the interesting stuff gets left behind, so, you know.
See, I've looked through your telescope. I've been ejected from the place that I once knew. For just a night, looking for respite. In the morning I'll be coming home to you. Upon the moon there's no imagination. The white balloon, I'm in hibernation. The spring in my step won't return. Not just yet, it's where I go. You should know. You should know.
We'll just end it by saying, you know, is there a particular Oasis song that is your favourite? And then we'll play out with that one.
Well, if you'd have to remind me of the last album. What's on it? Bag It Up.
Bag It Up, Shock of the Lightning, Waiting for the Rapture.
Oh, that one.
Shock of the Lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fast one, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the first single out of it. Yeah. Or was there any that when you were playing with them that, like, you particularly really enjoyed?
Well, what I played with them was Cigarettes and Alcohol, played Helter Skelter, Champagne Supernova, Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah.
What else? I think there was one other. I've got a CD upstairs with, like, versions on them. There was one other. So it was just that, let's play those six. I think it was Wonderwall, of course.
Famously.
That is so much better now. So when people go and see the reunion and they listen to it, they can go, I can hear that.
That's the David Potts change.
Why didn't they do that on the record?
That's the Pottsy change. There you go.
Yeah.
Forever.
So we did those. I think Champagne Supernova was the lovely one to do.
Yeah.
I think Noel sang it quite a few times because Liam only came down twice, I think. So, I do remember doing the Stars in Their Eyes. when I was there. Because I went, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Gwigsy. That was the start of the audition, which kind of broke the ice a little bit.
Nice, you know? Okay.
I think anything off the last, Shock of the Lightning.
Shock of the Lightning. Great choice. All right.
I like.
Potsy, absolutely pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, mate. Much appreciated.
No worries. Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Catch you later. Have a good afternoon.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, there we go. Top man. Really, really enjoyed talking to David Potts. Yeah, lovely guy. He's one of those people that I've been looked into sort of hunting down over the years, but I never got him. So really, really pleased to have found him. And really enjoyed that interview. And I hope you enjoyed the, some very interesting nuggets there about the Oasis rehearsals, the auditions. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Cool. If you're interested in the music dropped in throughout, there's a few of David's solo tracks in there, which are really worth checking out. So yeah, make sure you check him out on sort of Spotify, Bandcamp, YouTube. His stuff's all up there. We mentioned there about those, like the Monaco song with the dog video. Yeah, I've watched it. It's really funny. So yeah, if you look up Monaco, I've Got a Feeling on YouTube, yeah, there's the, it's a very entertaining video with a couple of dogs. So there you go. Right, news wise what's been going on? Well, yeah, it's been a few weeks. No, it's one of those sort of things where there's been stuff like happening every day, but then there's not really enough to sort of to genuinely be like, right, oh, I better jump on and do an episode, because it's sort of all like typical kind of conjecture and people just desperate for any sort of Oasis news right now. So I suppose the main thing is that Noel has been rumored to have been in the studio. What's he doing? Is he recording an Oasis album, or are they like rehearsing at the moment? Apparently by the sounds of it, they've been rehearsing, but not yet with Liam. So he was pictured, a couple of times going into the London studio, but yeah, no one else was seen, sort of not like Gem or Andy Bell or anyone was seen going into the studio. So we still don't know. So whether that was, whatever that was, with that Noel putting together, demos for the band to play to, who knows? Or he might just be doing something completely different. We're all still completely in the dark right now. And then, yeah, Liam had a couple of weeks where he just didn't do anything at all on Twitter. And then he's been back on Twitter more recently, but nothing particularly exciting, just his typical kind of beautiful people, bumbaclots, all that sort of stuff. Tony McCarroll's been out and about on the road. He did a live event for Kyle's company with John Robb hosting in the Definitely Maybe Bar in Manchester. By sounds of it, all went very well. And I think there's a few more coming up sort of that were supposed to be, within the next couple of weeks, but have ended up being postponed to June. So I'm not sure the reason there. If you want to go and see Tony in the flesh, then he is out and about. I think it's Glasgow, Southampton and London coming up, which is cool. And he also, he ended up, he did like a bit of a sort of a statement, I suppose. He posted something on social media, just talking about like the reunion and sort of wishing him all the best sort of thing. And interestingly enough, he said in that, you know, so to Noel, Liam, Gem, Boned and whoever else. So even though we've still not officially heard it is anyone beyond Noel and Liam, well, that maybe is pointing towards Gemma Boned. But then, to be honest, Tony, would he know? Because he's not really in touch with any of the guys. So he might just be basing it off the rumours that the rest of us have been hearing anyway. So, yeah, so we still don't know for definite. Record Store Day was yesterday, as I'm recording this on the Sunday. I recorded the interview with Potsy on the Friday. The Oasis Time Flies vinyl went out, as well as the Liam's Acoustic Sessions vinyl. So they both went out. Did you grab one? I didn't, because I'm not a big fan of vinyl, as you know. So there you go. But I think that's about it. I mean, there's been stuff about like Liam's sort of divorce going through, like he's hired new lawyers for this. Sorry, not Liam's divorce. Liam's custody battle thing, like the mother of his daughter, you know, all that sort of stuff. But we don't really like to go into that, so we leave that well alone. But yeah, other than that, it's just been one of those annoying ones, just waiting to hear something. But come on, it is now, you know, what are we now? Well into April, and they're playing in July. It's like less than 90 days, less than 3 months until the gig. So they probably do need to get a bit of a crack on. So yeah, so whether it is Noel sort of putting the basics together, and then they're going to get the rest of the gang together in the next couple of weeks, who knows? We shall see. All right, I think that will about do it. The next episode, this is number 299. So next episode is going to be episode 300. And it's also 8 years, because the Oasis podcast first episode was April the 6th, 2017. So we've just celebrated the 8th year anniversary of the podcast. And also it's going to coincide with episode 300. So I think what I'm going to do for that is the ranking. Let's do a great ranking updated. So yeah, so I last did a ranking of every single Liam, Noel, Oasis, BDI song back in episode 200. So that was, I think, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think 3 years ago. And so, yeah, so what I'm going to do next time is rank them again. But obviously this time we've now got Council Skies, we've got Liam Gallagher, John Squire, plus a few others as well. So yeah, so strap in, because it's going to be a long one. There's well over 200 songs we need to rank, so it should be good fun. But anyway, I hope you guys are all right. We will join you again for that very, very soon, hopefully. And in the meantime, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.